far as I'm concerned, we take them, we fly them over to the area, a nice, heavily dense area loaded up with ISIS, and before we bomb the hell out of ISIS, we drop Bergdahl right in the middle of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, President Donald Trump. Just a jackass. I mean, you know, we should just hear like a baying donkey every time he talks. It's unbelievable. This is the same guy who said we have to kill terrorist families to send a message to terrorists.
Just when you
love me.
Yeah. Just when you think it can't get any more insane, it does.
Meanwhile, the Democrats got themselves some troubles. Chuck Todd joins us. Chuck runs all of NBC now, and that's rightfully so. He's a little modest about it, but he runs the entire network.
All right now.
At Chuck Todd on social media. Like, I don't even want to talk about Trump and the Republicans and the lunatics. But the Democrats have plenty of troubles. And what do we make of the new CNN WMUR New Hampshire poll? It's not as big as it looks, but it's trouble, isn't it, for Hillary?
Well, look, the trend line is not good. But look, New Hampshire, to me, let's not focus on it until we know what's going on in Iowa. The Clinton campaign can explain away New Hampshire as a home state, you know, sort of neighboring state deal to Sanders, Mr. Vermonter, and all that stuff, as long as they don't lose Iowa. But if they lose Iowa, then the New Hampshire story becomes more problematic. And so that's, look, there's something changed. You know, I can tell you this, some Democrats are a little concerned that all of a sudden Clinton's numbers went down when Bill Clinton started campaigning for her. And that is about the scariest proposition that they are pondering when they've watched all of their numbers. Look, they don't believe they're down 30, but they do admit that she has been dropping in New Hampshire.
The only thing more frightening to you guys in Washington than 2 feet of snow with the three plows you have on the streets in D.C. is it three plows or four?
It is absolutely absurd. I'm a Miami guy. And I'm embarrassed. Okay? I'm embarrassed. We just have, I mean, it is amazing to me. I didn't grow up in this. I figured out how to drive in snow. I figured out how to have the right kind of car for this. And it's one of these things. I want to, like, duck my head in shame when I see that, like, 1 inch shuts us down.
That's what happened last night.
Oh, my God. Thank God I wasn't there. I've been at the mothership at the Rockefeller Center. So I haven't had it. I've just sort of watching from afar, but I'm headed there now.
The most amazing.
Everybody in Washington's having a collective snowgasm, by the way, right now.
I don't doubt it. The most amazing thing to me was when the president's motorcade drives, they shut everything down. So the roads are completely shut down, and it still took the motorcade an hour to get back from Andrews Air Force Base to the White House.
That's right. It's
just unbelievable.
It's really, and I tell you, I remember the first time this happened, you know, the president, a Chicago guy, he started mocking us. Oh, my God, did he get grief. Woo! So he didn't mock the city anymore for that, that's for sure.
All right, so here's the thing. There is a click your heels. There's a hold your breath. There is a when I wish upon a star aspect to the belief that the voting populace, or at least the polled voters, seem to have in the outsiders this time. Now, I will grant you, I am just as sick of politicians as everybody is. But there's a certain skill set you have to work within the system that exists and hoping it goes away by saying things like, I'm going to drop Bo Bergdahl in front of ISIS, and then I'm going to carpet bomb him with Ted Cruz or whatever jackass statements coming out of that camp anytime soon. Or we're going to pay for college for everybody in America. I mean, come on. Wake up, people. There are things that can't happen.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, Bernie Sanders got caught in something the other day. Where I was, the writer Ta-Nehisi Coates, who's wrote a sort of critique of Bernie Sanders, saying, "Hey, if you're calling for economic revolution, why aren't you for reparations for African Americans?" And so Sanders was asked it, and he said, "Well, you know, that's just something you're not going to get passed in Congress. That's something you can't get done. You know, that's something that can't be looked at." And I'm thinking, so he says that about reparations, but he thinks he's going to get Medicare for all through. Right. He thinks he's going to get free college. He thinks we're going to raise the top tax rate to 52%. I mean, what Congress has he been serving in? You know, so it is, you're right. I mean, we are getting into the sort of the silly season of promises. Look, I think the larger debate is, obviously, Bernie Sanders believes government should be not just a safety net, but an opportunity to lift use government to lift people up, use government to do that. I think Hillary Clinton comes from the school that Hillary Clinton's the government's a partnership in this. And then, of course, on the Republican side, the divide is what's the size of that partnership? And some believe the government shouldn't be involved in it at all. So we're having the correct ideological debates, but I'm with you, man. These pie-in-the-sky promises are sort of we're getting sort of this silly season on the campaign front, that's for sure.
Here's the thing about Ted Cruz that I'd be curious to get your take on. Bob Dole, I like Bob Dole very much. Bob Dole, in private conversation, couldn't be more entertaining. He's just a funny man, and he's an American hero and part of the greatest generation and one of the guys that delivered the World War II memorial, all of those things. But Bob Dole came out and talked about how hated Ted Cruz is in Congress, which is not a secret to you guys in Washington, but maybe not so much to the public. With Washington politicians saying that everybody in Washington hates Ted Cruz, doesn't that serve the reverse effect and help him?
I 100% agree. Every time that happens. And in fact, I question the decision by Trump to start on down that road, to start talking about how hated Ted Cruz is and all of those things, I think is certainly something that is risky for that very reason. I think that is what gives Cruz strength. And Cruz is trying to now hit Trump and say, well, Trump's going to be the guy to cut deals with Chuck Schumer, and Trump's going to, which, by the way, is true. Now, the question is whether Trump supporters want him to do that and trust Trump that he'll cut better deals, or whether they want more of an ideological fighter in Cruz. Cruz is betting that these voters actually want more of a fighter, not a deal maker. A
couple of things before I let you fly. Rubio this week said he wasn't aware of the Flint water crisis because he hadn't been briefed on it. You can't not know that, right? I mean, you got to know that.
That was, to me, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it that on that front. And I have to say, I think some of the more impressive responses on the Republican side have come from Ted Cruz and Trump. Both of them came across as if they at least were paying attention and reading a newspaper. I mean, I thought the Rubio thing was, it came across as, I haven't figured out how I'm going to talk about this yet.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out, you know, am I going to throw, you know, it's sort of like he was, let's see, Michigan has a Republican governor. The Michigan primary is March 8th. Okay, what do I do here? What
right,
do I do here?
Right, right.
You know what? I'm going to punt. That's what I have to say. The cynic in me, that's what I was thinking, like, oh, my God. And the thing is that I feel like I know Senator Rubio's habits. This guy is very well read. Okay, I do not believe he didn't know. I just don't believe
such
that.
Such an odd moment.
It's hard to believe. Yes.
That's a very bad moment.
If you would have told me, you know, there's three or four other people that if they had said that, I would have believed it. Coming out of hand, I'm like, oh, my God. He is the most connected, wired senator I've met in a long time. He and Cruz, you know, we're all the same generation. We all grew up with a lot of, you know, we're constantly getting headlines. There is no way he didn't know about this.
And is Christie viable still, or do we have to wait till New Hampshire and see what happens?
I think he had an opportunity to be viable at the start of the month. The Rubio people unloaded on him, and he hasn't been able to fight back on the airwaves. Here's what that tells me. I don't think he had the resources to fight back. So I think he has been viable. I don't know if he's still viable now. I have a feeling that these attack ads have worked. I have a feeling that it stopped his growth, and that he may be just mired in that muddle right now. And I don't know how he breaks out of it. Like, I think he still needs one more big moment, and I don't think he's going to get it. And financially, he didn't need to have the resources to sort of step on the gas when he was getting his moment in the sun.
I got a plug for Meet the Press?
You know, my top guest is a good one. It is exclusive, but I'm told I can't promote it yet.
Okay.
I've got to wait another few hours. But, look, I can promise you I should have both front runners on the show, but it's all that's what we're looking at, but I don't want to over pitch since, you know,
no, totally
nothing is done until, what do they say in negotiations? Nothing is agreed to until everything is agreed to, right?
Exactly. Yes, that's exactly right. And it's 9 o'clock, NBC5, Sunday morning, and it's a regular, it's a must watch, and all of you, I'll expect a report single spaced after Chuck does a show on Sunday. And we'll see you in Iowa in about a week.
You got it. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, man. At Chuck Todd, NBC senior genius on politics and other things. Let's take a break. Come back. Pat Brady's here. Eric Edelstein on the way. Rick Pearson as well. And Republican leader Jim Durkin in a moment. He was all over the news yesterday.
Yeah, he and Christine Redonio.
Well, I like Mr. Durkin, but I have questions.
I think a lot of people have questions.
We'll get to that coming up on 720 WGN.
Bankruptcy law is designed to protect an organization that has too much debt, that has too many liabilities, and it gives court protection to an organization that files bankruptcy while it reorganizes its liabilities, its debts, its contracts.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Governor Rauner starting a crazy day yesterday where a lot of discussion happened in public and private, in front of cameras and microphones, about whether or not the city school system would or could file for bankruptcy and whether the state would take it over. And joining us now is House Republican Leader Jim Durkin. I actually have to, Jim, I have to alert you to something. I just, out of habit, anytime a guest is on, I do a quick Google, and I Googled your name, and it says you were married in 1972. Yes. I think you were 11 in 1972. I don't think you were married then.
Well, I wasn't living in Tennessee back then, so I was in Illinois, so that doesn't work.
Yeah, you were 11 years old. No, I don't think that's accurate. So I just want to make sure we can clear that up.
Some of it was a joke. It didn't work. Okay.
Listen.
Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for doing this. And I know it was a very busy day yesterday. Where do we stand on this 24 hours later? Any thoughts overnight? Did you sleep on it?
Well, you know what? I stand by what myself and the Republican leader did yesterday. And we're making recommendations for the city of Chicago Public Schools, who are drowning in debt. And what I find fascinating are the Democrat leaders, the Speaker and the President of the Senate, laughing it off and saying this is a joke. The Chicago Teachers Union President laughing it off, this is a joke. They often criticize us every year about our position on their budgets, and they always say, "Where is your plan?" So the question I have right now is that we have provided a plan, the Republicans, the governor, Senate leader, and myself, on how to save and to improve Chicago public schools for the taxpayers and most importantly, the children of Chicago. My question is, where the heck is their plan? All they want to do is say, give us more money. That's just not going to work with this governor and myself and also the Senate Republicans. So we're trying to do something. They're not doing anything. And as I said yesterday, I think it's no practice to sit on the sidelines and watch to see how the problems in Chicago and Chicago public schools continue to leak out to the rest of the public. Now, just remember last year, CPS took out $1.6 billion in debt, and they are going back out in the market next week for another $900 million in debt that's got to be somehow get repaid. And you know, it's this continuing saga, but we think that Chicago and Chicago Public Schools should be given the option of seeking protection in the bankruptcy court, like 24 other states do for local governments. That may be the only thing that saves these schools. I get it. Rahm Emanuel, you know, a lot of people, it's easy to jump on him. He inherited a mess. Nothing's changed, though. You've got contracts that are just ridiculous. You've got collective bargaining agreements that I think that are overly generous.
Yeah, I mean, it can't continue. It can't continue to go along. It can't continue to go along this path. And what you just said is what I said a half an hour ago. Okay, you hate my idea. You can't sit there and go, yeah, it's not going to happen. What's your idea? I think it's completely fair, Andrea.
Representative, question for you. I mean, it does hold a little bit of weight. I mean, it's not a crazy proposal, but why introduce it if you don't think Cullerton or Madigan are even going to let it be introduced?
Well, who's going to at least bring the issue to the table for discussion? We are in a broader negotiation in, if you want to say, a tug of war or arm wrestling match with the Democrats over our budget. But the fact is, Chicago Public Schools right now receive about $1.6 billion of state taxpayer dollars. It's a heck of a lot of money. And they are approximately 20% of the student population in the state of Illinois, but they receive 25%. of all funds that we put through public education. So, you know, I live in the suburbs. I hate what I see, what's going on in the city of Chicago, particularly with our schools, with the schools in Chicago. And I think it's very responsible for someone to stand up and say, there's a better way of going about things. And the fact is, the Democrat leaders who live in Chicago, Mike Madigan and Jared Cullerton, are not going to do anything other than say, give us more money. I'm going to provide an alternative and at least begin the discussion. That's what we do. But the fact is, there's some logic in this. And they shouldn't be so myopic and just say, you guys, you don't know what you're talking about, and the laugh is off. Because I tell you what, right now, status quo is not working.
Well, you know what I'd like to hear? I'd like to hear, which I don't hear, and we got to jump to a traffic problem with Mary here in just a second, and please hold on for us, Mr. Durkin. But what I'd like to hear from the Democrats is at least this. We agree it is a monumental problem, and we understand why the public is so upset about it. We understand why parents are losing sleep at night over this and why teachers might lose their jobs, and we're not going to put up with it either. We don't like this idea. This idea is not going to fly, but we are working on something that we'll announce at noon today. We're not getting any of that. Nothing, Mary. Nothing. Got a couple more minutes with the Republican leader, Jim Durkin, coming off yesterday's presser and discussion and questions and answers about whether or not the city school system should be. Well, I didn't ask you that. So is this or is this not a state takeover of the city schools?
No. Well, first of all, bankruptcy, if we pass a law which allows a local government like Chicago Public Schools to go into bankruptcy, it's a voluntary action on their behalf. When they reach their wit's end. The other aspect of the bill would say that the Chicago Public Schools would be under the same rules as every other school district in the state of Illinois. This was a law that was passed last year by the House Democrats, which states that when some schools are what we call are on the financial watch list, that means that their finances are so troubling, is that the State Board of Education has to continue to put high review upon them. But if they are at a point where they're no longer where the state board sees that they cannot get out of their problems, then there is an independent oversight board that is put into place, appointed by the state board, to basically oversee the actions of the board. In this case, we've allowed in this situation for Chicago that if the school cannot get out of the financial watch list, which they are right now, Chicago Public Schools are under a financial watch list, then the State Board of Education would have the ability to dismantle the Chicago Public School Board and have a temporary oversight board appointed until they reach a time in which their finances are back on track.
So once the finances are back on track...
Like every other school district, which Democrats passed this law last year, except they took Chicago out of it. They take so much money in from the state of Illinois, there has to be accountability to Illinois taxpayers, suburban taxpayers, Chicago taxpayers also.
Right, but just to make sure everybody understands the point, once the schools were, quote, financially back on track, then the city would once again control the schools?
Well, there would be an election under this law, and, you know, I there would be an election for a new school board as opposed to appointed school board.
There would be
a prohibition on CTU and union participation, financial participation in those contests.
Where's this going to go now? We know Cullerton said he's not going to take a vote on it. We know you said, look, we're starting the discussion. Where's it going to go from here? Because it can't just die. But what are you going to do if the public continues to do what the public's done so far and very few are taking part in the argument?
Well, you know, we've got the guy with the bully pulpit. That's the governor who's going to continue, who is able to get the attention of Illinoisans. We're going to have to keep driving this issue. What I find fascinating, Steve, and it's really reprehensible, is that the Democrat leaders are still in denial of what they've done to the state of Illinois for the past 14 years. And when it comes to what should be their proudest and the pride of Chicago is their public schools, they stick their head in the sand when there's horrible problems going on, continuing problems. And it takes suburban Republicans to raise the issue that we need to change the way that things are going there. I mean, what does that tell you about the people that are running chambers in Springfield, the House, the Senate, but also the people who are running the city of Chicago?
Let me check and see. Is Madigan coming on now, Kev? Let me check with Kevin.
Big negative.
Oh, still not coming on?
No.
Okay. When's the next meeting scheduled for the Four Tops?
That hasn't been scheduled out last week. There hasn't been anything scheduled. We were supposed to.
I feel like we should get a posse out. We should get a posse out and search for him or something. I'm afraid that he might be in trouble.
Well, it was disappointing. You know, when we meet, when we're in Springfield, we have an opportunity, the five of us, to sit and we can meet. Last week, the speaker canceled the session, the whole week of, 3 days of session last week, and we're going to go back in for 48 hours next week, but we have a very limited schedule between now and April, and we don't control the schedule. So I'm ready to negotiate, the governor is, and we'll sit down and try to hash this budget out and solve the problems collectively with the Chicago Public Schools.
Well, you know, before you start any sort of discussions, check with your doctor and stretch. You know, you don't want to break into that too quickly. Somebody could get hurt. It's a joke. Ridiculous. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you. Have a good day.
Jim Durkin, House Republican leader. You know, if it's tennis, Rick Pearson joins us now at Rep 30. Rick, if it's tennis, you're served, Democrats. What do you got?
Well, the Democrats are actually seeing this whole issue of Chicago and its fiscal problems being wrapped into the larger issues, as Leader Durkin said, the issues of the Springfield stalemate. And as I mentioned yesterday, we're in this ideological battle where the governor, who's made no secret about his feelings towards public employee unions, has made dismantling union power kind of the fundamental seed for everything that he wants to be accomplished before there's any resolution on the financial issues affecting both the state and the city.
But again, to me, it comes down to the same thing. Okay, if the Democrats say, look, this isn't going to happen, there has to be an alternative idea. And the alternative idea is we're going to hold our breath till we turn bluer. I mean, what's the alternative idea?
Well,
you know, if the only thing I'm going to accept is more money and you have to give me more money or I'm not going to do anything, well, there's no discussion then.
Well, you're right. And there will have to be changes. And in fact, Republicans were privately saying if Democrats went along with these proposals that Rauner and the Republican leadership unveiled yesterday, that yes, there would be no doubt that there would be more money pumped into the Chicago public schools. That having been said, the trade-off between a more money offer and dismantling the unions is just a basic non-starter. And it's been a non-starter from the very beginning. And the governor continues to use that effort to weaken unions is basically what Democrats view as a poison pill in every plan, and there aren't the votes to pass it. Democrats do say, and the governor has agreed, that the state school aid formula should be restructured, and that's something that folks in Chicago believe there's an opportunity that they could get some more money that way, affecting some of the schools that deal with more impoverished children. But trying to rewrite a whole school aid formula is a whole other complicated mess, because that also comes down to winners and losers. And in a lot of scenarios, those losers would be the Republican-rich suburbs, and Republican lawmakers aren't willing to go along with that at all.
Is anybody predicting the future here?
No. No. I mean, you know, as we talked yesterday, are these proposals going to go anywhere? No. Have we moved the ball any? No. Because we're getting
hard to believe people have no faith in politicians.
Well, and I don't mean to be so cynical, but the fact is that the issues that existed before yesterday are still the same issues that existed today, the same issues that are dividing Republicans and Democrats. Now, today, Governor Rauner and Senate Republican Leader Redonio are supposed to unveil their view of pension changes affecting public workers. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes and how constitutional it may be in light of the fact of the constitutional protections over pension costs. But certainly when it comes to CPS, when it comes to the state, the costs of public employee pensions are a major driver in spending and something that diverts money away from more traditional programs, social programs that governments spend money on.
When do we hear from the mayor again?
Well, I expect we'll hear from the mayor very soon. He was in Washington, D.C. yesterday. It's noteworthy that at a panel at the Conference of Mayors on community policing and trust, he didn't really address the whole Laquan McDonald situation, something that we noted, something, frankly, that my friend Dana Milbank, columnist of the Washington Post, also mentioned as well.
Yeah, it'd be the elephant in the room, wouldn't it? Rick Pearson, Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com. Also, of course, the Sunday Spin. You got a guest you want to plug?
Well, yes, actually, I've got my colleagues, John Chase and David Heinzman. We're going to spend the second hour of the show taking a look at this whole issue of the Chicago Police Department. It's the efforts to try to improve policing, as well as my colleague John Chase's story that ran recently about what did the mayor know and when did he know it about the Laquan McDonald shooting.
Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the day.
Thank you.
I shouldn't say enjoy the day to Rick.
Seize the day.
I'm talking about Eric Adelside and Pat Brady join me after the big story, which is next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
All right. Yeah. 742. Pat Brady's here. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Morning. Sorry, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. My ears are still ringing from that Sarah Palin endorsement. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. What's your company?
Next Generation Strategies.
Where would we find you in the world of social media and online?
Pat_Brady.
Okay. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Eric Adelstein is one of the 20 most powerful political insiders, according to Cranes, and I thought it was related to politics. Turns out he can bench press over 750 pounds. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you. All right, so you just heard House Republican leader Jim Durkin. Let me start with you, Pat. What am I missing? You know, it seems like I say this to you guys every week. What am I missing? Because it does seem like the ball's in the Democrats' court. Okay, what's your idea?
I think what we're missing or hasn't been top of mind in these discussions is this has all started because the Chicago Public Schools is asking the state of Illinois for $500 million to make up the budget shortfall. And Governor Rauner said, hey, I'm willing to raise revenues, I'm willing to raise taxes, but I want some reforms. And this is what their reform idea is. And the Democrats don't like it, just don't like they don't like anything he's tried to do. And I know people want to say it's anti-union, want to bust the union. No, he just wants to, for the first time in a long time, the taxpayers in Illinois actually have a representative. I remember not too many years ago in one of these budget meetings, which I believe a public sector union, Governor Quinn took his campaign manager into the meeting. So the relationship between the money and the influence of the public sector unions in the state has been oversized, and Governor Rauner is just trying to correct that.
Well, let me just say this, too, and get Eric in on this. And by the way, Eric, your company is?
AL Media.
All right. And online where?
ADEL 64.
Okay. ADEL 64. Even if you go with the argument that the governor does want to break up the unions, okay, that's the end game if you buy that argument. Why aren't the Democrats compelled to respond to this with another idea?
Well, because it's not a game of tennis. It's about governing and school kids and teachers who've worked their whole lives. And unfortunately, they become a pawn in this game. There's, as I've said on the show before, there's plenty of blame to go around. But what we're dealing with here, there is a subtext. And that is we have a failed governor who knows that the best defense is a good offense. So rather than talk about why he can't solve the problem that he's been elected to solve, why the state's been basically ground to a halt, he'd rather go on offense and say, well, we may have problems, but those guys have bigger problems. It really doesn't get him out of the fundamental problem, which is that he can't pass a budget, he can't work with the legislature, and he's promised a whole bunch of things that aren't happening. The second thing I would say is I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but long before this guy, Bruce Rauner, became governor, he talked for a long time about how unions were evil, how the fact is we had to break the back of particularly the Chicago Teachers Union. And so this is frankly really nothing more than kind of a political stunt to advance a political agenda that says we're going to take apart and dismantle the union. Let's bankrupt units of government and start over so we don't have to pay pensions, so we don't have to honor union contracts. And I just think the Democrats and the legislature aren't playing politics. They're standing up for a principle, which is that working men and women have a right to collectively bargain, which the governor doesn't really believe in.
Well, but saying that the governor wants to not pay pensions isn't true.
Why not?
Well, he's never said that.
If you bankrupt a unit of government, what happens is, look at what happened in Detroit. You all of a sudden don't have to pay the pension obligation, so you immediately eliminate a huge deficit. It's what he did in his companies. You buy a company, You take all the profit out of it, then you declare bankruptcy. Then you all the lawsuits, all the obligations, you don't have to pay them anymore. It's the exact model he followed in business. Unfortunately, lots of people's lives are at stake when he talks about it in government.
That's not what happened in Detroit. Actually, Detroit's a good example. Detroit actually went bankrupt, and now they're a functioning, thriving city, which they weren't. I know you used to live there, Steve. The point is, in bankruptcy, and I know it's an evil word, but it's actually bankruptcy protection. The Chicago public schools right now are effectively bankrupt, and they need to restructure their contracts. They need to restructure their obligation, their debts, the liabilities, everything. And I think that's what he's proposing, and that's what they want to do. And, you know, I don't think that's an unreasonable position to take. It's just the Democrats take the position that anything that goes against what who are their biggest donors, the public sector unions. And Pearson did a great story over the holiday about how much money the Democrats actually take from the public sector unions, and it's in the millions and millions of dollars. So they have a lot of influence with the Democrats, and nothing's going to change.
You know, there's one other point I should make, because, you know, for years, and it certainly predates Rauner and all of us, this tension between Chicago and downstate.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a fact that gets lost in this, oh, the Chicago public schools take all this money. The city of Chicago pays more in taxes to the state of Illinois than gets back to the city of Chicago. So this notion somehow that the Chicago teachers or the Chicago public schools are draining the state of Illinois. Chicago is paying more money to Illinois than is getting back for their public schools. So let's just be clear on the kind of suburban
downstate,
bashing.
Downstate needs to get over the idea that Chicago is stealing all the money from the state. But Chicago also has, you know, and I love this city, obviously, but Chicago also has to get over the superiority complex that downstate doesn't deserve anything.
No question.
But they also have to recognize that their public school system is bankrupt. It's been mismanaged. I did a task force when I was in the state attorney's office many years ago and did a bunch of investigations over there. It's an absolute mess. Even today, recently, the 52 schools they closed down, they can't find the computers that were in the schools. And I think Forrest Claypool is the right man for the job, and I think he will do a good job. But right now they are bankrupt, and they're asking for $500 million more of taxpayer money. And the governor's, for the first time in 14 years, the taxpayers are actually represented at the table now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing that continues to just drive everybody crazy, I think, and that is, whatever side you're on, the math doesn't work. The math doesn't work for the state. Fifth largest state in the country, the great state of Illinois, is a mess and is a punchline. So if it's math and the math doesn't work, who's going to fix the math? Well, we have people elected that are supposed to do that, and they're not talking to each other. They're just screaming at trees and screaming at each other, and everybody walks by the window, and, well, it hasn't hit me yet. Well, it's gonna.
Yeah, but I just, again, you know, Rauner was elected to be the governor of the state. Everyone wants to point fingers at legislative leaders, but this guy's in charge, and he's been a failed governor.
I got to go to traffic. Here's a question for you, Eric, in particular. But, Pat, you chime in on this as well. What would the solution be? Like, starting today, what could Rauner do that would fix this, or at least take a step towards fixing this, bring Madigan to the table, all of that? Think about that during the break. Let's get traffic first from Mary. Mary is here on 720 WGN. Mary, I just asked Eric to fix the entire problem.
Oh, yeah. He's only got a couple minutes
for
that.
That's plenty of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Back on the Steve Cochran Show. It's 7:54, and we're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Show number 570 will be in Iowa for the caucuses. Is it the caucus? Pat, you're going to be there. Caucuses, caucus-eye?
Cock-eye.
Oh, it's cock-eye. Cock-eye. Well, Hawkeye, like cock-eye.
Cock-eye, yes.
Ah,
cock-eye.
I got it. All right, good. Eric, will you be in Iowa?
I will not.
You will not?
But I will be paying rapt attention.
All right. So there's my question. You now have control over Governor Rauner. Dial the clock back if you want, or take it from here. What should he do? What should he have done?
Well,
to fix this,
you can't have a set of demands that have nothing to do with budget and finance, and say, I'm throwing the gauntlet down. I'm not going to talk about passing a budget or doing anything to move the state forward until I get my way, or I'm taking my ball and going home. And I think that's been the fundamental problem. And that's not just Democrats saying that. You know, former Governor Thompson, former Governor Egger, a lot of people have said, put aside all these demands for, you know, getting rid of of public sector unions. Maybe you want that. Fine. Let's have an ideological debate about it. But don't hold the budget hostage for a whole bunch of demands. That's step one. Step two is you can't deal with Chicago Public Schools in a vacuum. It has to be part of the larger issue, as we talked about, because the city of Chicago sends more money to the state of Illinois than gets back to the city of Chicago. So it has to be a comprehensive plan. And finally, I think the fundamental problem with this governor is from all accounts and people who work with him in the private sector, he doesn't work well with people. And part of being governor is, yes, you're in charge, and as Durkin said, you got the bully pulpit, but you got to sit down and work with people, and he's proved incapable of doing that.
Well, the reality is in Springfield, there's one guy that has oversized influence on everything, and that's the Speaker of the House. He has a rigged map. He gets all the money from the public sector labor unions, and he takes positions that are consistent with his donors. So we have a guy that does not want to negotiate. Governor Rauner, there's one thing in a Republican primary, Republican candidate that's almost the third rail is talking about tax increases. Governor Rauner said, I will increase taxes. It may not be income tax. It might be a service tax. But I will increase taxes so we have more revenues in the state so we can meet our obligations. But before we're going to do that, we're going to enact some reforms. We're not going to spend the money or overspend the money that we have in the past. We're actually going to be responsible and budget the way you're supposed to. But the reality is everything he's proposed, the 44, 45 things he's proposed, all of them have been rejected by the Speaker. So this is the position he's in. He's doing all the things he should be doing. He's talking about these reforms. He's talking about reforming the Chicago public schools like you talked about yesterday. But the Democrats just aren't bargaining on – they're not bargaining on anything. They're against redistricting reform. They're against term limits. I mean, simple things that the governor wants, the Democrats won't even listen
to. They have nothing to do with passing a budget. Nothing.
Well, if you only consider that – if you consider the budget in a vacuum, but the reality is the way this entire state operates, it needs reform. And who gets sent to Springfield has a direct impact on the budget.
How long can this go on? I mean, every day we do stories. Oh, the lights are going to go out this week. The prison trucks aren't going to be delivering food. How long? What is D-Day? It's going to come. Where the state runs out of where we run out of money. You can't even pay the utility bills.
No, that's right. I mean, people have had different estimates of it. The problem is we're now in an election year. And so now everything becomes even more poisoned and even more sort of partisan and used for political purposes. I think that press conference yesterday was a perfect example of that. It's not about governing or good policy. It's about scoring political points. And so you're right. I don't know what the end game is, and I don't think anyone does, and that's what's depressing.
Well, the reality is this: the Speaker blew the meeting off before Christmas. He hasn't shown up to the meeting. He's not negotiating at all. And I know that you can't blame one person, and I'm not, but he's not even playing ball with anybody. Any of these ideas, like Durkin said, they're thrown out. The Democrats are just dismissing it out of hand. There's absolutely no negotiation on the Democrat side.
Right, and how is a guy that's been there since 1970 not a people person? Why can't Mike Madigan step up and say, look, you're never going to bust the unions. Get over it. But here's what I'm willing to offer.
I think he's tried to do that. In fact,
Give me the specifics.
Steve, Democrats passed a budget months ago.
$4.5 billion out of balance.
Fine, but it was a starting point. It
no, because what did he wanted to do? Madigan wanted to do say, all right, here's our budget. We don't have the money for it. Now, you Republicans, you make the cuts so they can turn around now in the spring and say, these mean Republicans cut everything. The reality is you got to sit in a room and hammer out a budget. And when a Republican governor puts tax increases on the table, he's negotiated in good faith.
But you know, it's fun to say, oh, he blew off this meeting and whatnot, and he's not doing anything. But the fact is he did do something. They passed a budget and said, governor, let's sit down and talk about it, whether you agree with it or not.
What's he done since then?
Well, he's basically stood up for working people and said collective bargaining is a right in this country, in this state.
Well, but I know he said,
we're not going to give in.
The house is on fire and nobody's got water.
But he's not trying to eradicate the public unions. All the Chicago Public Schools proposal would do is say, hey, we got to renegotiate some of these contracts. They can still collectively bargain. They just can't bargain so the rest of the state goes bankrupt.
The governor yesterday seemed like high-fiving everybody over bankruptcy. Bankruptcy can't be the win.
No, but you didn't. I heard you say that earlier. You had to listen to the whole thing where he's talking about bankruptcy is a protection.
I get it. I get the definition. But the governor runs a risk now of being out there and screaming about bankruptcy is the victory here. When people who go through personal bankruptcy know how much it carves a hole into your life. So if the governor is going to take that track, is there some risk that the governor is going to end up, as the guy who's actually talking, to look like he's made the situation worse. You know, I don't know what the win is here, because if the governor shuts up, Madigan's not going to say anything. Madigan's still holding his breath over here, and the people of the state of Illinois are getting screwed every day.
Well, maybe so, but this is, the governor's been down there for years. Some of these people have been down there since I was in second grade. So we want to talk about people that have a political agenda and people have an agenda for reform. I think it's pretty clear who wants to reform the state.
But how do you get Madigan off the dime then? How do you get him back to the table?
Well, you don't do it by advancing an ideology.
Okay, but how do you do it?
By sitting down and saying, you started with a budget, let's sit down. I'm going to put aside my ideological hatred of public sector unions, my belief that what I did in the private sector by bankrupting companies and then starting over
Rauner,
is the way to
Rauner's
run government.
Not say that. Rauner's going to.
Well, then,
okay,
we, if, then it's
but
gonna,
Rauner's not going to come out. You know this. Rauner's
well,
not
going to
come out.
The question.
Rauner's not going to come out in public and say, wow, I suck on every level. I'm wrong about everything. I sure hope Madigan will show up for a meeting now. I'm just asking for the grown-ups
well,
to get
okay,
together.
You want my honest answer?
Of
what
course
it's gonna
I
take,
do.
It's going to take elections. And, oh. and I mean that. Oh. I think it's going to take this midterm, and then it's probably going to take another gubernatorial election. And there's going to be a referendum on whether Rauner's way of kind of dysfunction and gridlock and not moving things forward is what people want. And maybe they do.
We just
maybe
had an election. Do. He won by 5%, which is a landslide in a Democrat state. They voted for reform. The only impediment to reform right now are the two guys sitting in Springfield. So unless they come to the table with something to offer that's legitimate, we go nowhere.
We're going to be annexed by Indiana if this continues.
Indiana.
Indiana, Illinois.
We're all for you. Go Black. How about those Blackhawks, Steve?
You know what? That is positive.
Yeah.
It'll be great when we can take the Stanley Cup to the capital of Indianapolis. Just ridiculous. Eric Edelstein, where do you work?
AL Media.
ALMediaStrategy.com. Pat Brady.
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
Nice to see you guys. Now behave in the hallway.